If you have your Bible, turn with us tonight to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth," now listen, "be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. I want to preach tonight for just a little bit, God will be our help, on when God calls. Amen. When God calls. Amen. As we look at this, to see God has spoken to Abram, and he said it's time to move. And God does deal with men. But now up to this point, now we want to look at this, and I got to thinking, you know, so many times in this world, the world itself has taught us through history that men are apt to make the same mistakes over and over again. And I got to thinking about that as I was reading through the last couple weeks. I've been reading through the Genesis and looking at the accounts of the little nation of Israel and how God began to establish her, and how that they would get in there and go for God, and they would fall away and fall into idolatry, and then they'd get back close to God and then they'd fall away. And I thought, you know what? We ain't no better than they are. Amen. We never learn, seem to learn from our mistakes. It seems like the old devil, he always uses the same stuff on us. Always gets us the same way. But as we see this, we see how God had been dealing. Now, God had been dealing with humanity in general. But as we see here, as Abram comes along, and it's no longer a general, but it's a particular dealing. Amen. Hey, just say praise the Lord for particular dealings. Hey, man, praise God. And that's what he does. He begins to choose out this one man, and he begins to give him individual instructions. Hey, I want to say praise God. When you get saved, born again, God does the same thing for you. I'm afraid it's what's happening in the world we live in today. There's a lot of people with profession without a possession, because there's nobody giving them instructions. Nobody is giving you, if there's not nobody inside you, praise God, that's speaking to you, giving you direction, then you're probably lost. Amen? Help us, Lord. I'm just being honest tonight. Because the Holy Ghost of God, Bible says, moves in us, and He gives us direction. Teaches those things that God would have us to have. So we see that this individual instruction that God begins to give to Abraham. See, the world at large, it was already rejecting God. See, it already done it. It already done it. See, they'd done rejected God to the point God said, "I've had enough." And He said, "I'll just wash this all away." Amen. Just spared old Noah. Saved eight is owed by water. Amen. So you start over afresh and anew. Because people in the world in general, praise God, had said, "You know what? We don't need God." I'm afraid today in the world that we live in, these United States of America, we're saying the same thing. Amen. The world in general, the United States of America, is saying, "You know what? We don't need God." They're refusing the Lord God of glory. Amen. So God would have to make a special people to do a special work. And that work was a work of redemption. Amen. He would begin a work in this special people. Through them would be the written word. The scriptures, when the scriptures would come as we know them today. And also through this was the living word. Amen. Not only the written word, but the living word, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. And the Bible says He would be born in due time. Amen. And praise the Lord, thank God, 2,000 years ago, and a little over 2,000 years ago in the town in Bethlehem, Jesus was born. Bless His holy name. He would come on the scene, amen, and He would begin to bring that redemptive provision that we need, amen, to accomplish that and to be offered back so that the world one day could come in general sense back to a holy God. Amen. That's that whosoever will, praise God. Whosoever would, that would get saved, praise God, by the marvelous work of God. But we can see some things in here, and I got to studying on this and looking about it, and I got to studying some of the history and stuff of the Jews and how God would move, and some of the through some of the things that we've seen, how they lived and the conditions that they lived in, here in Ur of the Chaldees, which was lower Mesopotamia at the time. And we see through some of the things that we've been reading that there was some excavations that's been taking place there over the years. And they've come up with these synagogues of worship, these places of worship. They've come up with these hymn books and these prayer texts that they would have there in that place. And you can see as we study that stuff and we begin to see the things that they found there through excavation, through digging, amen, it just lines right up with the Word of God. Amen. Ain't amazing how science can, the Word of God always proves science. Science will never prove the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Word of God always stands way beyond science. But as they begin to dig and they begin to find these things, they begin to find documents. Thousands of business documents about transactions that was taking place during this time. Now I'm going somewhere with this. Just hold on. They found transactions of grain and vegetables and fruit and cattle and slaves and other commodities. Amen. That were being traded during this time. When Abram was in Ur of the Chaldees, they began to see the prices and the methods of payment and the methods of business that was taking place. So I said all that to say this. At Ur of the Chaldees, it was a happening place in the time of old Abram. Amen. It was happening there. When Abram was there, he's kind of like, the things was prosperous, things was going good. Kind of like old Philip when he was down there preaching to the Samaritans. Man, in the midst of Holy Ghost revival, and God come along in the Holy Ghost and said, hey, Philip, you need to leave here and go down there into the desert. Amen. So here we see old Abram, he's hooked up here. I mean, he's a pretty prosperous man. And from what we read and study about old Abram, which would eventually become Abraham, the father of the nation, amen, we see that he was a pretty smart man. He was educated, amen. He was thoughtful in the way that he would move and approach things. He was thoughtful in judgment and in business. He was foresighted. He looked ahead, amen. We see this as we look through here, and we see how God would help him in his activities. So we have to ask ourselves a question here as we look at this. Why did God send Abraham or Abram? Why did God ask him to leave this place that was so prosperous and to go somewhere else in order to make him a nation? Why did he do that? Amen? Don't hardly make any sense, does it? Why would he leave this place here that was so prosperous, that was a thriving place, must have had, would have multitudes of people because of the businesses and the things that was taking place there? And why would he not make the nation in the land of Ur? Well, the Bible tells us here that the Lord spoke to Abram. And he says, now the Lord had said unto Abram. Now, I got to think about this. It said the Lord had said. It didn't say the Lord said. It said he had said. And if we go back into chapter 11 and we begin to look at this and ponder upon it, in 11 chapter 31, it tells us about the lineage of coming down to old Abram, and it talks about his father, Terah. And the Bible says that in verse 31 of chapter 11, and Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 250 years, and Terah died in Haran. I got to thinking about this, and I got to wondering and pondering on this. If God spoke to him, and he said he had said unto Aaron and Abram these things, then why was it that Abram had left out with his father? Amen? Why did he head out with his father? I believe Abram, I can see in my mind's eye, he goes to his father and he said, Dad said, the Lord spoke to me. The message that the Lord told, he said, I've got to leave Ur of the Chaldees. He said, I've got to get out of Mesopotamia and I've got to go to a place that he's told me to go. He's compelling me to go down to the land of Canaan. Amen. And I believe just like any other father would be, he said, you know what? He said, if you got to go down there, and said, he said, what kind of God would tell you that? See, they was living in this place of your the Chaldees. And now in this place of your Chaldees, I told you they had places of worship. And they worshiped all kinds of gods. But the number one God that they worshiped was Nana. Amen? If you're a grandmother now and they call you Nana, that means that you're the moon god. Amen. I didn't know that until I got to study. They said it was Nana. Nana was the moon god that they worshiped. So Abram's father was a big worshiper of Nana. Amen. So he said, now son, if you, what kind of God spoke to you, told you to do something like it? Can't you see things is good here in this place? What do you think? You know how we would be? If our little old youngin' come up to us and said, Daddy, you know what? I got a good job, make a good living in a good place, and God's blessing, but I got to go over yonder. You'd look at him like I would and say, you've lost your mind. Amen. God's prospering. You got everything you want. You got money in the bank, money coming in. Amen. You got good health. What else could you want? But he said, Dad, said, you don't understand, praise God. God spoke to my heart, and I got to go. So Tara, he says, okay, said, if you're going, said, I'm going with you. That's why it says here that that Tara took Abram, his son. See, Tara, he was the father. He would be the one that would be leading out, amen, when they took off. He would be the one that we would see getting recognized. But the Bible also says as he leads off with these people out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he heads for the land of Canaan, amen, I said, they come to a place called Haran. Now, Haran was a place of idol worship also. So we see Abram as he heads out to do the bidding of the Word of God. And I'm saying that to say this, and I believe a lot of times God speaks our heart and we take off in the right direction. A lot of times I think we take off with the right attitude and right focus, amen, that we're going to do something. The Lord spoke to our heart. He's put a burden on our heart, amen, that He wants to get us in and be part of His family, and we head out to do right. But just a little ways down the road, we get sidetracked. Amen. It don't take very much to get us sidetracked. So we look at this and we see tonight that they went down the road just a little ways, and they ended up and they left the beaten path, left the place where they was headed into Canaan, and they headed to Haran. Now Haran, according to the map, when I looked it up today, is about 60. I wish I'd have made a big copy of that so I could show you this. It's about 60 miles off the beaten path. Amen. They had to divert 60 miles to Haran. Amen. So I see them as Terah, he takes them off the out of direction that God would have them go. Now God had done spoke to Abram. He said, this is the way I want you to go. And Abram done spoke to his father. He said, this is the way I need to go. But just a little way down the road, praise God, God had been calling, and praise God, he said, hey, you know what? Are we going to deviate from the path just a little bit? Now history don't tell us why they deviated. But Bible says that it was because that Terah liked those false gods. If we ain't careful, we get caught up with our false gods. You know, that's things that we put before the real God. We get caught up in them, and they cause us to leave the beaten path. The path that's right, praise God, in the eyes of God. If you look over in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua was talking to people, and he's trying to organize Israel. The little nation. In Joshua 24 verse 1, it said, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for the heads of, and for all the judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. So he called up all the important people, Joshua did, and he says, okay, now listen. In Joshua verse 2, he said, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. Even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Amen? Why was Abraham distracted? Because his father was serving, wanted to serve other gods. Abraham went into a strange land with Terah and pursued a strange gods. Amen? If we ain't very careful, we'll let somebody close to us lead us into strange territory chasing strange gods. Amen. Why did God allow this? Because he had asked Abraham to step out on faith and pursue what God had asked him to do. And Abraham, he steps out on faith, but it ain't long he got down the road before he gets sidetracked by something that caught his eye. And he goes into this place, and the Bible says he stayed there. And now we don't know for sure. Some people say it was just a matter of weeks. Others say a couple of years. I heard one fellow say one time that he researched it out, and they'd stayed 15 years in Haran before Abraham finally left off. But the Bible said he stayed there in Haran until Terah had died. Amen. He stayed there in that place until his father had passed away. And I'm going somewhere with this, so just hang on. So we see why God would not build that nation. He sent Abraham off, amen, had departed. Number one, he's had a great step of faith. He had to take a step of faith, trusting in the unknown. He had to get out of where he was comfortable with people, praise God, and he had to go into the unknown. But praise God, If God is in it, praise the Lord, He'll give you the direction that you need, and He'll be with you there, praise God, when you get to the finish line. Amen. If you just step out in faith, trust in a holy God, amen, glory to God, He'll be there all the way to the end of the way, praise God, to deliver you into the presence of the holy God. Amen. And you can enter in with rejoicing in your heart. So we see him as he stepped out in great faith. Not only did he step out in great faith, but that great faith led to a lot of spiritual development. I can see him as he goes up there, and he knows in his heart of hearts that there's no God but one. See, Abram, I believe he was monotheistic. I believe he believed mono, that means one. Theos is God. He said, I believe Abraham believed that there was one God, that God had spoke to him. Amen. Praise God. He got sidetracked, went up there in that place, and I believe he had to go up there and try to do the best he could in that strange place with those strange gods. Amen. Until finally his father passed away. That great influence in his life. But I want to say tonight, praise God, the biggest influence in our life shouldn't be mom and daddy. It ought to be God Almighty. Amen. We ought to step out in faith, trusting in him all the way to the end of the way. Realize that God will never lead you wrong. He'll never lead you astray. Praise God, He'll always draw you closer. Hey, mom and daddy might lead you off, but praise God, God will never lead you off. Amen. God will lead you towards the throne of grace all the days of your life. Praise the Lord, if you'll follow the Lord. I might lead you astray. You say, why you say? Well, because I might lead you astray. Mama might lead you astray. Papa might lead you astray. Mama might lead you astray. But praise God, I won't say God will never lead you astray. Amen. We step out in faith. We have to step out in faith of Him. Praise the Lord. Trust in Him to do those things for us that we can't do for ourselves. Amen. When we done that, not only does it give us when we take that great step of faith, does it develop our spirituality, but it helps us, amen, in those to be able to overcome those difficult times that we'll have in our lives. Amen. When we step out on faith, our faith has to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith has to be in a great Creator God. Our faith, hey, they're pushing this thing big hard. I mean, they're coming in wide open with this evolution thing again. I mean, just bombarding the churches and the schools with this evolution. Say, boy, you've missed the mark. We need to get back to that basics of teaching and teach this evolution theory. We need to teach about this Big Bang theory. I'm telling you, all it is a theory, and theory is something that somebody says it's so, but it's never been proved. Amen. I want to tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, there's a great big Creator God, and He's sitting in the throne of grace this evening. Praise be to God. And He's one said, hey, glory, at the right hand of Him, make intercession for me and you. And that's none other than Jesus Christ, the Creator and Sustainer of it all. Amen. Brought to us redemption through the blood of the Lamb. Bless His holy name. What a Savior that we have. The Bible says that they headed out. They headed for the land of Canaan. Now in the Bible, there's different places where it talks about this. In chapter 31, it says that he went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. Amen. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Now he says they were headed for Canaan, but they got sidetracked. Now, in other places, some people say, well, you know, the Bible contradicts itself here. I want to say there is no contradiction in the Word of God. Amen. There is not a contradiction anywhere in the Word of God. Look at Acts chapter 7 and verse 2. Acts chapter 7 and verse 2. Stephen's a-talking, preaching to these high priests. And he says, he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee. Amen? So here we see Stephen said that God said that he spoke to that God spoke to Abram and he said, get out of the land, amen, and I'll go to the land that I'll show you. And now look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. He talks to about Abraham, and he says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should not receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Amen. And by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. The Bible said, oh, Abraham. And you say, well, see, there it is, the contradiction. He said, hey, Hebrews said he didn't know where he was going. Hey, listen, he ended up in the land of Canaan where God told him to go. He never planted no roots, praise God, because they was a God of glory, and he was a looking for, and he hadn't run across him yet. Amen, glory to God. What does that say? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he's a God of glory, and I ain't run across yet, and I ain't going to stop my journey until I see him face to face. I know there's a city that's built by God, and its builder and maker is God Almighty. And when I get there, praise God, I'll have my eternal rest. Amen. Until then, praise God. See, there's no contradiction to it at all. Hey, one place give a general area, another one give a specific place. Amen. That specific place was Canaan. And amen, that the general area was Canaan. Amen. Praise the Lord. He was a passing through, looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. He said, I'm looking for a place where I can hang my hat. I'm looking for a place where God can begin to work. I'm looking for a place where God can build a family, praise God, who the number of them will be as the sands and seas and the stars in the sky. Praise the Lord. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying praise the Lord. I'd say there's no contradiction in the Word of God. Absolute truth, absolutely. Without any error anywhere. Bless His holy name. So we see God told him to depart and he stepped out. That great faith, that spiritual development, dealing with difficult matters. See, there'd come a time in Abraham's life that a lot of things, issues would come up that he'd have to deal with. But oh, Abraham, God was preparing him for those days, just like He is me and you today. Amen. See, we have here a shift in God's work. He had been working in the general public for a long time. But praise God, God was calling out a particular people, amen, to do a mighty work for Him. Amen. He was, glory to God, what a privilege. He was going to focus on a man and his family. He was going to focus on one little old nation, praise God, that they might bring honor and glory to God. I want to say praise God. That same God's doing the same today with the United States of America. He's focusing on me and you, praise God, as a church of the living God. He's focusing on us. Amen. He's got His eyesight on us. He's watching us. He's hoping us day by day, praise God. He's directing us and poking us on the things that's important, and praise God, and helping us to walk therein. But God was aligning him up to begin a new work in a different direction. It was a direction of redemption. Amen. He was aligning him up for a new work in a new place. It's amazing. It amazes me every time I think about it. And I look at that little old map of the nation of Israel at Canaan that they're talking about. Father Abraham come out of Ur of the Chaldees, lower Mesopotamia, and he come to a little place called Canaan. Now I can just imagine his father, no wonder he said, let's just go up Haran, hang out a while. Maybe he was sickly. Maybe he needed to hang out. Maybe he stayed with his dad till he died. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But the Bible said he did stay with his dad till he passed. Amen. And then God began to speak to his heart again and draw him on that path that he'd have him to go. And he stepped out. He headed for. He said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Canaan. Amen. Hey, we got daddy buried. We got the things taken care of with daddy. Amen. We've put that all to rest. Got things paid for. Everything situated. He said, now we've got to do the father's business. He said, hey. He said, we're going to a little. Where are we going? He said, we're going to a little place called Canaan, Galilee. Amen. Glory be to God. And they stepped out one more time for the glory of God. Ain't you glad one day God come along and you was in the wrong path, headed the wrong way, and God got a hold of your heart and he said, come on and go with me. And praise God, you surrendered all. And you said, Father, I'll go with you. Amen. But I'm afraid sometimes we get weary in well-doing and we want to fall by the wayside. But I want to tell you, praise God, we got to just stay in a good fight of faith. We get stronger farther on. Amen. Nowhere to quit. Praise the Lord. So they begin to go. They take them to a little old place, a strategic place called Canaan. Little did they know that that little old place, I think it's 60 miles wide and 60 miles wide, 160 miles long, something like that, 120 miles. Little old narrow strip of land. Amen. But God says, this is where I want you to go. And He said, I'm going to give you this land. Amen. Now, Abram, if he's like me or you, he'd say, you know what? You know, I was up here in Ur of the Chaldees. We had everything we needed. What did we need to leave for? God said, I want you to go down there because I've got something for you. Amen. Hey, I've got something that's even better than this right here. See, I won't say that's what God's doing for us today. He said, hey, it may be good here. It may be good times here. But he said, praise God, I've got something better for you laid up over yonder. He said, there's a place called Canaan. He said, there's a place called rest that you can come into while you're preparing to meet the Father. Amen. Before you can, a place where you can get ready, a dressing up place for where you be entered in to the presence of a holy God. Amen. Where you can get your things together, your life together, your thoughts together, your spirit together with the Spirit of the Holy God so that He can usher you in, praise God, into the presence of the throne room of God. Just a dressing up place. Amen. But I get to thinking about old Abram when he got down there in Canaan. Amen. He began to move around in the land of Canaan. And I began to think about some things that take place. Oh, Abram said, you know, His shepherds and Lot's shepherds, his nephew's shepherds, they begin to get in arguments over the grass and the territory for their animals. And so they begin to quarrel. So Abraham goes to Lot and he tells him, he said, you know what, nephew, said, we're going to have to split up. We're going to have to put a little distance between us. And he said, you can have this out here. He said, or you can have that down there. And the Bible said, old Lot looked out to that well-watered Jordan Plain. And praise God, he said, you know what? He said, I think I'll take that over yonder. And Abraham, he said, all right. He said, if you'll take that, he said, I'll take this over here. And I get to thinking about that. And I begin to wonder about old Lot. I wonder what if old Abram hadn't have took old Lot up into Hebron. I wonder if he hadn't have let him go up there into that place of worship, a worship of demons and worship of a moon god and other gods of this world. What if old Lot had never went in that place? What if old Abram would have had a backbone like a saw log, like me and you need to have today, and said, you know what? There's some places we ain't going. Amen. He said, there's just some situations that we ain't going to get in. There's just some things today that we got to stay away from. And I'm not going to let you go up there, and I'm not going to go either. What would have happened to old Lot? But the Bible said he went down there into that well-watered plain, and he found a place called Sodom, and he made his camp there in that place of Sodomites. Amen. He said he sat there at the gate, and he tried to do business, and he tried to tell them about a holy God. The Bible said that it vexed his righteous soul from day to day, sitting in that awful place. I wonder what happened if he had never went up in Haran. I wonder what if old Abram had never took the family up that way. I wonder what if he had never gave in to his daddy. He said, Daddy, Said it'd be better to die here on the plain than in off place of God, idol worship. Amen. I can see in my mind's eye Abram. I wonder how many times he looked back. The Bible said there was a time come when he had to go out and they come on old Lot and they besieged him. They carried him off. Said, old Abram. Said he got his servants and he armed them. Now these were just shepherd boys. Amen. They were just family slaves to take care of the cooking and the moving the camp and take care of it. But he said he got them up and he armed them slaves. And he said, come on, boys, we got work to do. Amen. He said he went out. I pray, man, with the help of the Lord. And he overcome them. And he took back that belonged to his family. Amen. I wonder how many of us have let our family slip away. Have been carried away, praise God. But I want to tell you, glory to God, this evening, that it's time to go and get them back. It's time to arm ourselves with the holiness of a God, a righteousness of a God, amen, who loves us and cares for us. And go get them, praise God, and bring them back into the fold. Amen. Keep them with us close. Amen. It's time we get our families close. We need to get our families close. Listen, you people that's got young children, you need to keep them close. Amen. Because the devil would like nothing more to grab them and drag them off into the pit of hell. We need to keep our children close. Because when God's called us, when God's speaking to us, amen, we need to listen. Amen. And keep our people close. God wants to sidetrack us. But number one tonight, we can't be sidetracked. We've got to stay focused. We can't let the devil take us this way and that way, man. We need to be a focused people tonight. Amen? You have to be focused. You can't. Hey, we can't think that somebody's going to do this for us. I would love to. I'd like to go sit at your house, amen, with a switch, and every time you misbehave, strap your little legs. Amen? But it wouldn't do no good. Because God's already doing that. If you're a child of God, He's already chasing you and showing you where you mess up. But we've got to take responsibility for ourselves not to be tried, not to end up in Haran, amen, up in a place that we should never been in to begin with. Amen. Because there's somebody there that's going to be there that we're going to carry into there with us. And they may not come out. Lot left most of his family in Sodom. When the hell fire began to rain down on them, they was left out. They laughed at him. Amen. I wonder today, does our people, our kinfolk, they laugh at us for our Christian belief? Amen? They laugh at you. They make fun of you because you're trying to take a stand for God. I wonder, is your Christian life just a joke? Do we live like Christians when we're at church and live like the devil when we're at our house or somewhere else? Listen, you young people, listen, you can't be a child of God and live like the world. You have to live different. You have to, hey, listen, fellas, you got to separate yourself from the world. The world wants you to do things that God's not pleased with. You have to constantly, every day, we have to constantly be asking ourselves, is this pleasing to God? And if you're saved, praise God, Holy Ghost, God already showed you that it's wrong. You say, well, preacher, you know, everybody's doing it. That don't make it right. Amen. If everybody's running off and jumping off the Westgate Bridge and saying, Geronimo, does that make it right? No. It's stupidity. But we're running after the world. We're chasing after the world, praise God, the ridiculous stuff of this world, just like that. Geronimo, jumping off in the, we know not what. But we got to be careful. We can't be sidetracked. So it's up to us, every individual here, to be focused on what God wants us to do. We have to be focused on who God is and direction He has for us when God calls you. God may be calling you now. God may be speaking to you now. You say, well, preacher, I'm not going to the mission field. I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to be a Sunday school teacher. Hey, He may be calling you to go across the street and talk to your neighbor and tell them, praise God, that you love them and you want to see them saved. Amen. Amen. There was an old fella come to Bible college one time years ago, and he is a missionary to Australia. And he come in there, and it was a week we was having mission conference, having missionaries come in. And he come in there, and these fellas was pumping us up, you know, and they was trying to get us pumped up to go into the mission field. And I mean, every one of them was pushing us. Hey, you know, God, maybe God's called you to go to the mission field. And this old fella come in on, I believe it was on a Thursday night after we had heard that all week. And I believe there's four or five of them about ready to jump off and go. And You know what that little old fellow from Australia said? He preached a little while. He read some scripture. He said, let me tell you, fellas. He said, the mission field is right at your next door. He said, if you think God's called you to the mission field, he said, you get out, and he said, you go and knock on every house in a 1 mile radius of your house, knock on every door and tell them about Jesus, preach them the gospel. He said, if you haven't done that, he said, you don't need to be on the mission field. He said, you're just going to be taking up space. Amen. But he said, if God's called you to do it there, he'll call you to do it here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I tell you, when God speaks to you, we got to listen. Because God be speaking to us. He may be speaking to you now. He wants you to be, hey, if you're a child of God, he wants you to be a child. If you're lost, praise God, he wants you to be saved. Amen. We don't need to be sidetracked. Devil may be sidetracking you now and say, well, you know, I don't really need to do this Christian thing. I'm young yet. I've got to sow my oats and then I'll get in. Well, that's the biggest lie of the devil. He wants to drag you off some pit somewhere and dump you out, praise God, and you'll never be able to find your way back. Amen. Hey, ask some of us that's been there. Hey, it's a whole lot better, praise God. I wish I'd have got in when I was a 15-year-old boy and got saved and never got messing with the world. Amen. I talked to a boy the other day. He said his daddy was up there in the hospital. He said, preacher, said, you know what? He said, I hear these other people talk about their testimony, how that they used to be drunkards and alcoholics, and how their daddy had to come get them out of jail, and how they had spent time in prison, and all these other things, and the testimony they've got. He said, preacher, I used to think, boy, what a testimony those people's got. He said, but you know what? He said, I've never been in jail. He said, I've never tasted alcohol. He said, I've never smoked a joint. He said, hey, I've never been in a bar room. He said, I've never committed fornication. I've never had... committed adultery. Amen. He said, I've never done none of those things. I said, whoopee. Glory to God. What a testimony. Amen. Praise God. I would to God I could say I'd never done nothing that would hurt my heart of my God. Amen. What are you saying? I'm glad I went to God. I could never get sidetracked. Amen. But if we ain't very careful, we can get sidetracked. Can't we? We got to stay sidetracked. We can't get sidetracked. We got to stay focused on the Lord. Amen. The old devil, this is the worst time. This is the best time and the worst time for children of God. Amen. We're living in the best time and the worst. The worst time because everything in the world is trying to sidetrack us. We've got so much going on at our fingertips. Amen. It's occupying our mind. We can't focus on nothing. We can't focus on a thing because we've got something all time occupying our mind. We can't sit down and eat supper without the TV on. Amen. Oh me. Well, I got to listen to the news. Oh me. You know what's wrong with our families today? We don't communicate. We have no communication. We got something going on in this ear and something going on in that ear, and we can't focus on nothing because we got four or five things going on at once. Newsflash, you ain't that coordinated. Amen. We need to back up. We need to refocus. We need to put our focus on the Holy God. We need to put our focus on the things of God in these last days. Because these little old youngins coming up and they're watching us. Amen. Wonder what old Lot seen when he was up there in Haran. Old Uncle Abram and his daddy Terah. Wonder what they seen them do up there in the temple. Yeah, well, preacher, I don't believe they went up there in that temple and worshiped that Nana. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they hung around, maybe because they was used to being around that kind of stuff. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, hey, listen, we better be careful where we go. We better keep focused, mama, daddies. Hey, listen, young'uns, you better keep focused on the Lord or the devil will sidetrack you. Amen, he'll lead you astray. We need to stay focused. We don't want to be led astray. Abram took off and he missed it by 60 miles. 60 miles. I wonder how many miles we've got off the path time to time. Wonder how often we get off the path. Huh? I wonder how many times we let the old devil and the focus of this world sidetrack us and get us off the path. How many times in a day? Huh? Do these things cause us to lose focus? lose our direction. Amen. But what we got to do, we got to be listening when God calls. When God calls. Because when we start to stray, God will catch you. Hey! Amen. When you start stray, when you start to go off path, God will say, hey! Wait a minute. It's this way. Hey! This way. But you know what we do? We say, well, you know what? I'll get back over in a minute. I'll get back there in a minute, where I need to be in a minute. And next thing you know, you're 60 miles off the path. And sometimes you ain't careful, darkness will come. And you won't be able to find your... It may be a day or two before you can find the path again. Amen. See, that's the way the devil does. But if we stay faithful to God... Amen. Hey, Abram started out right. He took a step of faith. He headed in the right direction. Amen. He was going the right way. But he got sidetracked. I believe there's a whole lot of people, church people today... And I know the Bible says that in the last days there's going to be a great falling away. I realize that. But if we ain't careful, we'll be the ones falling away. Amen. We'll be the ones falling. We don't want to be ones that fall away, praise God. We want to be the ones that draw nigh. Because He said we'll draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to us. Amen. So Abram, there was a call and went out. And Abraham heard it. And he stepped out on faith, heading the right direction. But he got sidetracked. What I want to say tonight, praise God, when God starts calling, praise God, just keep going towards His voice. And you won't get sidetracked. Amen. You can stay on the right path if you stay with God. It's going to be tough. These last days we're living, it's not going to get no easier. Everything is just coming at us at once. But you know what? This is the best time. I started to say a while ago, it's the worst time, but it's the best time. Because I believe there's a lot of people out there, Brother Kevin, that's seeking, they're desiring something that the world don't have. They're desiring something that me and you ought to have. And they're looking for a place where they can find that. And it's an opportunity for me and you to say, you know what? I hear a voice calling and it said, me come tell you that there's a living Savior that loves you. And He wants you to come to Him. And if you want to, said, I'll show you where you can find Him. And get them by the hand and lead them up to the house of God. And say, here you go. Here's a place where you can get help. Here's a place where you can get hope. Bless His holy name. When God calls, they can hear.